Welcome to the Citygate Church podcast. Today's message was recorded at our live Sunday services, and we hope that it encourages you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
We're going to turn to Nehemiah right now. Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're just going to read from verse 18, three verses. And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me. Don't you love that? Don't you know God's hand is good? Yes. About 10 of us. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah, God's hand is good upon our lives. And you know what? We need to be filling our mouth with the goodness of God, not the problems at work. Hello? Yes, not the problems with the government or anybody else's government. Amen. Let's just think about the government that is upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's fill our mouth with good things. Don't fill your mouth with the stuff that should never come out of your mouth. Because Christians don't do that. Amen. Amen. The world does, but the church doesn't. We fill our mouth with praises and with good stuff and with stuff that encourages and builds up and edifies. And I love this. So he had so much to moan about. He had so much. He was serving a king. He was in exile. The walls were all broken down. He had so much to moan about. But you know what? He didn't choose to moan. He chose to give glory to God. Hallelujah. He chose to lift up the name of Jehovah Nissi, fight my battles. Jehovah Jireh, meet my need. Hallelujah. And he lifted up the name of God. And he said, God's hand is good upon my life. And also the king's words that he had spoken to me. And so they said, let us rise up. There it is. Let us rise up. Can we all say this? Let us rise up and build. But they didn't just say it. Look what happened. Then they set their hands to do this good work. I love it when people start to talk the word of God. But you know what? We're not just called to talk it. We're called to do it. Amen. We believe it, we say it, we act on it. And I love it when I'm seeing more and more people rising up in this generation saying, come on, let's do something. Let's be a generation that doesn't sit back. Let's be a generation that sees the kingdom of heaven forcefully advance. Hallelujah. Let's do something. Verse 19. Do you remember I said the other week, your vision will wake up your enemy. Just for total transparency, that didn't come from me. I've been listening to that for 20 years. Pastor Steve Kelly, Wave Church. That's something he's known for saying, but I've sort of adopted it as mine now. Is that okay? Yes. Well, Paul said a lot of stuff that we sort of declare. Your vision will wake up your enemy. And no surprise in verse 19, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Horonite and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard of it, they laughed us to scorn. They laughed at us and they despised us. I spent a whole time on this in the first service, and I'm not going to do it now. Part of that is because we're on live stream. But we are living in a day when the world is going to hate the church. We've had it easy in this nation. We've had it easy. The world is going to start to hate the church. And what people think is when the world starts to, you know, to throw stones, as it were, and, you know, to start to accuse, we start to want to apologize. Oh, we're sorry. Please think we're okay. Please think we're nice people. But you go back to the New Testament, you don't find that. You find every apostle crucified, stoned, killed. Why? Because they were on fire for God. And it was a sign of their holiness, not a sign of their compromise. One guy, they couldn't kill him. The apostle John, the apostle of love. John, they tried to kill him. If you know your history, they tried to kill him. They boiled him in oil and couldn't kill him. He refused to die. So they got him out the oil And they sent him off to Patmos, the Greek island of Patmos. And you know what he saw there? The book of Revelation. What are you going to do with a guy like that? Refuses to quit. Because God had a plan. We're going to Patmos in a few weeks' time, Sharon and I, only for one day. We're doing a little trip around the Greek islands. And last year, I got so excited, we went to Philippi. And I stood right there in the inner cell where God turned up, where Paul and Silas, praise God. I stood there and I just got so excited. And this year we're gonna just put our feet on Patmos, and I'm gonna hope to see Revelation number 2. Well, I don't think there is one, but yeah, but who knows? I'm going by faith. Wow. We're in a day when the enemy's gonna laugh, despise, criticize, and they start to say, what is this thing that you're doing? Will you rebel against the king? And the answer basically is, no, we're not rebelling against the king because the king has given us authority to do this. Amen. Amen. We may be rebelling against the spirit of this world, but we don't apologize for that. Verse 20, so I answered them. I love this. This just really, I love this faith. I love this tenacity. I love this grip he's got on the call of God upon his life. So I answered the enemy and I said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. I don't find one ounce there of, oh, we're just going to get by. We're just going to survive. We're just going to huddle. God is my defense. I love the fact that God is my defense. And there are psalms about he is my defense. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. But you know what? There's something greater than just defense. And that is prosperity in the middle of the battle. Hallelujah. And you know what? When you're in the fire, that's when the fourth man turns up. When you're in the prison cell, that's when God shuts the mouths of the lions. Hallelujah. God doesn't turn up on the beaches. God doesn't turn up in the green pastures. But you better believe he turns up in the battles of life. He turns up right in the trenches. And he said, the God of heaven himself. He didn't just say he's going to say, you're going to cope with this. You're going to get through this. He said, God is going to prosper us in the middle of this. Come on, let's give God some praise in this place today. God is going to prosper you in the middle of your challenge. Hallelujah. God is going to prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and we will build. But you, devil, you've got to know how to talk to the devil. You don't have to talk to him a lot, but when you do, you know how, you've got to know how to talk to him. You talk to Jesus most, amen? But you, devil, you have no heritage. You have no memorial. You have no right in my city. And I believe there's a church rising up in our day with that type of grit on the inside. Devil, you have no memorial in our education system. You have no right in our legal system. Hallelujah. More than anything, you have no place in our society as we lift up the name of Jesus Christ, and we're going to see every knee bow and every tongue confess. There is an army being raised up in our day. People who know how to pray. People who know how to praise God. Not church attenders. We're through with that. We're building an army, hallelujah, right across this world, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. An army in love with people. An army that is so against the works and the plans of the enemy. You know, Jesus said, I came to tiptoe through the tulips and to just be meek and mild and kind and nice. No, you know what he said? I came to destroy the works of the devil. It's a faith on the inside. We don't fight people, we fight in the spirit. We love people. But even if you love them, they still might reject you. Just keep on going. Don't get upset about it. Certainly don't get offended. Just keep smiling, keep praising God, keep lifting up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, because you're one link in a chain in their life. Oh, I've got so much I'd love to say this morning. We will arise and build. We will. That's what God's doing in his church. That's what's happening in the body of Christ. There's a rising up taking place. You know, 740 749 times. 749 times in the Word of God, we are either commanded or encouraged to rise up. 749 times. Rise up. Such a powerful, powerful word from God. Arise and shine. Rise up and take the land. Rise up, take up your bed and walk. Arise, Samuel, and anoint David. Find it all the way through scripture. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Don't sit down, get up. Don't lie down, get up. Don't play dead, get up. There's a getting up all the way through scripture. Over the next few weeks, we're going to go through some of them. Rise up and walk in the land God has given to you. Every one of you in this room has got a territory. You've got a place that God wants you to occupy. It may be the business world. You're not there to make money, you're there to occupy. It may be in healthcare. You're not there for a salary. You're there to occupy and reflect the name of Jehovah, Rafika, the Lord, your healer. Perhaps you occupy in the legal system. You're not there to just win a few cases or prosecute a few bad ones. You're there to occupy for the one who is the great judge of all the earth. Hallelujah. There is territory for every person to occupy. You don't go to work. You can tell I'm stirred today. We're not just going to work, we're occupying and reflecting the love and the power of Almighty God. If you're in education, you're not just going to learn so you can pass an exam. You're there to occupy. Two school kids, 13, 14 years old, got on fire for God. And they went to their teacher and said, is the Bible true? It's a generation ago. And they said, yeah. She said, yeah, the Bible's true. They said, can we believe what it says? And she, as the teacher, said, yeah, you can believe what it says. Thank God for that teacher. Because you know what happened? Those two kids, 13, 14 years old, went away and started to pray for their class. Because they believed that whatever they prayed, God would do. And they started to pray, and that whole class came to Christ. Then the whole school came to Christ. That was the start of the Borneo revival, where a whole generation was swept into the kingdom of God. They weren't going to school. They were there to occupy. Hallelujah. To occupy. We will arise and build. We will arise and build. 749 times. Rise up. Rise up. There's always an and, well, there's often an and with it. Rise and shine. Rise and build. Rise up, take up your bed and walk. There's an and with it. Starts with a rising up in here, but there will be something to do. Rise up and start the business. Rise up and get married. Get out of this partner thing. Oh, it's all the same. No, it ain't. You're not married if you're not got a ring on it. Get married. Don't tell me you can't afford it. Live in sin a bit longer because you haven't got the money. Come on, I've got to say some of this stuff. Rise up. Rise up. And stop having sex before you're married. Rise up and start tithing. That's a good one. Yes. Takes a rising up on the inside. Rise up and forgive that person that you've refused to forgive up until this point. Rise up and do it. Stir it up on the inside. Rise, 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 rise. God is an up God. He ain't a down God. Nothing down about God. There's humility in God. I'm not talking about, you know, the Bible says, if you want to be the greatest, you've got to be the servant of all. The word to bless literally means to get down on your knees. Now, that's not a down attitude. Oh, I'm just a worm, I'm just a nothing. It's down to lift somebody up. You with me? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you. Now, we don't get down just to go up. We get down there because that's what love does. You with me? But God's not a down God. Church is not a down church. We're going from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from victory to victory. This is an upward path. God is an upwardly mobile God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 749 times the word rise up is used. His kingdom is an up kingdom. God never intended his people to be down. I'm not talking about humility. Never intended his people to be down. He said, when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, you are exalted in him. Raised to life. Not put down to life. Raised to life. Exalted in Christ. He's the head, we're the body, to the right hand of the Father. Ruling and reigning in life in Christ Jesus. This is an upward kingdom. It's an upward time. We praise God upwards. The word arise. Oh, I love this. Are you getting anything out of this morning? Man, this is a strong one. You know what the word arise means? Perhaps this is just the thing that some people need today. I don't know, online, in person. To rise up means this, to rouse yourself. See, the problem we have is some people think, I'm going to raise you up. Or God's going to raise you up. Or your husband or your wife is going to raise you up. Or the government's going to raise you up. Or your school teacher's going to raise you up. Or your education's going to raise you up. No, the word in scripture, because that's our plumb line, amen, is to rouse yourself. Too many people want somebody else to do it for them. No one is going to raise you up. No one. So get rid of the victim thing. Get rid of the chip. Get rid of the regret. Get rid of the shame. Get rid of the woe. Get rid of the whatever it is. And say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to raise myself up. We're not talking about arrogance and pride. We're talking about what God commands 749 times. Raise yourself up. When I fall, I shall lie there and pretend. No, I will rise. Raise yourself up. You know what it means? And this is a really powerful word. It's a really powerful word. It means to rouse yourself out of, there's a number of these. I'm just going to read them and something's going to apply somewhere. Got your catchers out right now. We prayed at the start of today, God speaking to every area of our lives. We're not keeping anything closed away. We're open before you right now. Anybody else? God, speak right into wherever I need speaking to. Wherever I'm not where I need to be. To rouse yourself out of, the first one is sitting down. You know, Sharon said to me last night, we'd had a barbecue at our house, over 100 people there, leaders of the church, and wonderful time. The sun was shining, had a wonderful time. We cleared up at the end and all of that. You know what Sharon said? I just need to sit down and put my feet up. Anybody ever said that? Yeah. Anybody ever done that? Yeah. Sit down, take your shoes off, put your feet up. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? Don't you love that? I do, I just love that. It's like, oh, I come in from working the hours I work, and I sit down, and I go, oh, Sharon, I just need to sit down. And I put my feet on the poof thing that I've got. And then she says, can you take your shoes off? Every day, every time. Take your shoes off before you put one there. Oh, yeah, all right, okay. Take your shoes off, put them up there. And it's wonderful. But you know what? We were not created to sit down and put our feet up. We sometimes need to sit down and put our feet up. But then there's a time to get up. And I'm not saying don't sit down and put your feet up. But what I am saying, you only need to sit down and put your feet up in between the stuff that you need to be doing. Yes. Some people have found their new favorite place. Sitting down, feet up. Click your finger, bring me a glass of water, will you please? When's my dinner? Especially some of you men. Can I say this? Woman, I even had one bloke tell me this. Nowhere in scripture did Jesus call anybody by their name if they were female. He just said, woman. So he adopted it in their marriage. He said, I'm just going to call her, well, this was a pastor of a church in Nigeria. I've got to say it. I'm just telling you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And I said, mate, I'll be coming to your divorce hearing. I said, you need to get a grip and get off your little throne and start hanging on the cross for your wife. Amen. Because that's what the Bible tells us men to do. If you want to be the head, then die. Yes. Amen. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're responding right now. Hang on the cross. Don't click your finger and say, where's my dinner? If I was the one, I'd say, flipping, make it yourself, you old toe rag. That's what I'd say. I'm not saying women don't cook. I mean, you understand them. Yes, sir. Amen. Click your finger and want your coffee. Now, absolutely, Sharon says, you know, do you want a cup of coffee? I go, oh, I'd love one. But I also say that as well. Yeah. Sharon, do you want a drink? Oh, I'd love one. I'll do it, she says. No, I said, no, you just sit there, put your feet up. I'll go and do it. Because that's why we got a 38-year-old healthy, happy marriage. Yeah. Amen. Woo. Amen. It's great to sit down and put your feet up. But let's get rid of this little click your finger thing in life. You come to church, click your finger. Stewards, kids' church. Why don't you get off and your butt and go and serve somewhere? Yeah. Amen. 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 Same thing, same spirit actually. Same, it's about me type of an attitude. To rouse yourself out of sitting down. You know, do you want to hear the next one? To rouse yourself out of lying down. This is Hebrew, this is in the Hebrew. It says, this is what the word means. To rouse yourself out of lying down. We all go through the rhythms of life. But some people don't just want, they just don't want to get out of bed. They just don't. They just don't want to get out of bed. They love the pillow. They love the duvet. They just don't want to be anything. Because you don't become anything in bed. They're awake. But they're horizontal. Now we make it even worse because they're lying in bed with their phone. They're lying in bed with the TV on. Now we I'm talking about it as a lifestyle. We used to call them couch potatoes. Horizontal, lying down. Rouse yourself out of lying down in life. Because the great things in life don't just fall on your lap. They happen because you go and get them. What's the next one? To rouse yourself out of sleep. Wow. Now, is it right to sleep? Yeah, I'm not talking just naturally here. You understand, this is, you can apply this in your life. Where are you lying down in your life? Are you lying down in your prayer life, or are you active? Are you lying down in your Bible reading life? Oh, just another podcast. No, get in and read the thing. Read the Word of God. Don't just lie down and let it wash over. Yeah? Read it. Rouse yourself out of sleep. You know what the Bible says about sleeping? Wake up. That's what it says. Wake up, O sleeper, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up, the mighty man. Joel 2. That's for this generation. Because sadly, we've got a lot of men who think they're women. And we got a lot of women that think they're men. And we got a lot of crazy parents putting their boys in girls' clothes and girls in boys' clothes. Wake up, the mighty men. Men that have got a pair. Men that have got some strength. Men that have got some faith on the inside. Men that are prepared to hang on the cross for their family. Men who are prepared to pray the big prayers. Men who are prepared to go out there and conquer the enemy. Amen. Men. Wake up, the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Don't leave the spiritual stuff to the ladies, even though they are outstanding at it. Don't leave the worship to the women. Let the men worship God. Can I hear an amen this morning? Amen. Let the men praise God. Oh, no, I don't do that thing with the emotion. Get some emotion going. You do when your team wins a goal. You start hugging and punching and shouting. Come on, let's see some of that in the Church of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Wake up, O sleeper. You know what the fourth one is? Sitting down, lying down, sleep. Inactivity. To rouse yourself out of inactivity. I'm going to be 2 minutes. Rouse yourself out of inactivity. Activity is not an inconvenience. It's why we were created. We were created to be active. What else? I love this one. Rouse yourself. This is for some people here today. Rouse yourself out of obscurity. Now, it doesn't mean to say that, you know, we got such a narcissistic generation. It's all about me. It's all about me. No, that's not what I'm saying. But some of you are in the shadows, and God wants you to be center stage. Not from arrogance, not from entitlement. Not talking about that. We're talking about, I've got something to say. I've got a generation to turn upside down. I'm coming out of obscurity now. A friend of mine, he was an office help in a bank. And he was just employed, left school, no exams, no nothing. Just an office dog's body in a bank. And he was told to clear up the storeroom and do this and do that. And he did it all. He was a believer. Great attitude. No entitlement. No striking. All of that. And he just had a great attitude. And he just served wherever he could serve. And one day he thought, you know what? I can file better than their system here. So he went to his boss and said, listen, I think I can file all these archives in a different way to make it easy. This is pre-computers, yeah? I can file it all a different way. So he filed it a different way, and they loved what he did. So they gave him some other responsibility. How many of you know he was faithful over little, made ruler over much? It don't happen just because you pray for it. It happens because you rise up. Within about 3 or 4 years, he was leading a team of over 50 people with a six-figure salary 30 years ago. Why? Because he roused himself out of obscurity. What else? To rouse yourself. This is what the word means. I'm not just grabbing words here. To rouse yourself out of disease. Now, we're a church that believes in healing, but there's more to disease than something physical. There's a disease of society. There's a disease in mentalities today. We got to rouse ourselves out of the spirit of the world. To rouse yourself out of death. It's a strong word. What dies in the Christian life? You know what dies? Hope dies. Dreams die. Because the devil comes to steal, to kill. The amount of Christians I've spoken to over 36 years of leading churches, pastoring, where God had promised them something and they'd let the promise die. Don't let your dream die. Rouse yourself. Now, sometimes seasons have gone, you just close the door and move on. I get it. But don't let your dreams die. Don't let your dreams die. You get something out of this? We're dreamers here. Joseph never let his dream die. Never. Even David, 13 years on the run from Saul. 13 years. He never let the dream die. He knew he was appointed to be king. And finally, to rouse yourself out of ruin. Now, we know God is the healer. God is the restorer. God is the one who has the power to turn situations around. But he wants us to rise up. Oh, it's all destroyed. Rise up anyway. But the walls are burned. Rise up anyway. Yeah, but it's all gone. The family's destroyed. Rise up anyway. And you will be amazed what God will do when we rise up and we lay hold of the hope set before us in Jesus' name. Did you get anything out of that today? Come on, let's give God some praise in this house. Can we stand to our feet today, please, as we close? Some of us have just got to rise up and start inviting people to church. Rise up and start to tell someone about Jesus. Rise up and start to pray some big prayers. We're going to go through some of the rise-ups in the Bible. They're wonderful. Wow, they're wonderful. Rise up, because the last leader's dead, Joshua. Rise up, walk in the land. Take back what the enemy has done. I mean, so many rise-ups in the Bible. We're going to get hold of just some of them in the next couple of weeks. But what we're going to do today is we're going to decide we're rise-up people. We're not sitting, lying down, disease, death, ruin, obscurity, inactive. No, come on, God is an up God, amen? Come on, can we lift our hands? Say, thank you, Jesus, for this resurrection spirit on the inside of us. It's a resurrection spirit, hallelujah. Come on, can we start to praise him for it a little bit? Thank you, God, for this spirit of life on the inside that gives life to my mortal body and every part of who I am. Lord, you uphold me by the power of your word. You lift me up. You raise us up, Lord God. And we rouse ourselves today. We refuse to be lethargic and inactive and obscure. We thank you, God, that there's resurrection life on the inside. In Jesus' name. Now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, perhaps you're here today and you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Oh, wow, I love this part. This is what we live for. It's what we live for, to see people come to Christ. First service, whole bunch of people came to Christ. That's very rare for an 8:45 service, because it's normally the early birds are the on fire, go for it sort of bunch. A number of people came back to God or received Jesus for the first time. Friend, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. You know, I was so angry earlier this week. As I'm sure we all saw, that absolute demonic murder of a 24-year-old man for his watch in London. I mean, dear God, this has got to stop. Let's get rid of all the political correctness and all the ineffective stuff and start to see a turnaround in our society. But I don't want to talk about the stabbing. What I want to talk about is this. I hope that guy was a believer. Because he was launched into eternity that quick. And it started, you know, I don't often think about eternity because my brain can't handle it. I get overwhelmed with it to think that people go to a lost eternity where there's nothing but torment for eternity. And that's why Jesus came. To set captives free, yeah, to give us a great life, yeah, to heal your marriage, yeah, to heal your body, yeah, to give you abundance. But can I just say, all of that is really pales into insignificance in comparison to eternal life as opposed to eternal torment. I've got to say it. If you're not born again, right now, you are not facing an eternity in heaven with Jesus. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Jesus died on the cross for you, shed his blood so you don't have to be apart from him. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if you've never received Jesus as Lord, or perhaps you need to come back to God. We're in a generation right now, a lot of people coming back to God. Let me sort of explain who needs to come back to God. Can I make it just really simple? When we were saying, thank you, Jesus, earlier on, and Tim was saying, come on, thank God. If you had nothing to thank God for, you ain't got a relationship with him. Very simply, that may be a strong thing to say. When we're celebrating the things of God, if you've got nothing to celebrate, I question your relationship with God. When we say, come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Let's worship the Lord. Well, I'm not talking about being loud or quiet. I'm saying if nothing's coming out of you, I would question if you've got a relationship with God. If somebody said to me, tell your wife you love her, and I can't do that, I got a problem in my marriage. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And this is strong today. But there are people in this room, you need to come back to God. You're kidding yourself. You think you've got a relationship with God, but there's nothing there. You may believe some stuff, but the devil believes it all as well. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you need to come back to God, or even for the very first time, if you need to receive Jesus as Lord for the very first time, I'm going to ask you to do something really simple but really bold in this room right now. And that is to lift your hand right now in this room. Is there anybody here today to receive Jesus as Lord or come back to God? Is there anybody here? Friend, don't leave it. Is there anybody in this room? Last time as I look across online, please join me. If you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God loves you. Jesus died for you. He's got a plan for your life. Is there anybody here today? Wonderful. Let's all pray this prayer right now. Everybody pray, whether you've responded or not. And online, we'd love you to join with us. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He died for me, for my sin, to give me life. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord, my Savior, my friend. By the help of your grace and your power, I'll never be the same again. I receive eternal life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we give God some praise today? Can we give God some praise for that resurrection life on the inside? Wonderful, wonderful.